How did you come up with that name then? Why'd you choose ASHA for Life Community?
Well, our partners who joined us in this venture are Hindu Indians who came to the United States 35 years ago to study and practice medicine. And we've developed a friendship over the last, 10 years or so. We really identified the problem first in Mumbai. And my father and I had traveled in India, and we saw a lot of the poverty there. We saw how people lived so poorly there. Our poorest people here are rich by Indian standards. And, just the plight of children was amazing. And when we came back, our friends, the Mehtas, Srikant and Harsha Mehta, asked us if we'd seen any of the signs of the trafficked children. And we didn't because we didn't know what we were looking for. Mm-hmm. And we had a long discussion about, what that is, what it looks like, how prevalent it is. And I started doing some investigating on my own. I saw a PBS video called The Day My God Died, which really spelled it out, what's happening in the world as far as trafficking. And it broke my heart. I've got a daughter who was 12 at the time, and I thought, my goodness, this could happen to any family. And how devastating is that? And it's happening to families. There's estimates that 2,500 girls and women disappear every day into the world of trafficking. So with that in mind, we decided to form an organization that would go to India. We would vet organizations that were doing release of girls who had been trafficked, take these survivors and provide them with psychosocial rehab, also with medical care, job training, whatever they need to get their lives back, become who they were again before they were trafficked into sex slavery.
Is slavery mostly for the sex trade now rather than cheap labor?
No, I would say that slavery itself, modern slavery, is a huge overarching way to discuss all types of forced labor or coerced labor. We focus on sex slavery, but there's an estimate by the CIA that there are 27 million people held in bondage in the world today. That's more than any other time in human history.
Even though slavery is illegal in most parts of the world today.
Slavery is illegal everywhere in the world today, but there are more slaves. Now it's underground. Before, it was public, it was law, it was regulated. Now it's underground. And when you look at the black market income from sex slavery, only the trafficking of guns and the sale of drugs brings in more money through the black market for the mafia every year.
Drugs you could easily hide. Weapons, I would think, you could easily hide and smuggle. How is it that humans are hid, that we don't see this problem?
We don't know what to look for. It's out there. It presents itself. But for one, most people don't expect to come across that or believe that's even happening in their town. And so when they see something that maybe looks suspicious or out of place, they're not going to put two and two together that what they're seeing is a girl who's being coerced against her will in a sexual way, especially if the person's foreign. You don't understand the language. You think maybe that's just a cultural norm that you're seeing. And there are all kinds of tips and hints if you know what to look for. And I think especially we need to get our law enforcement agencies and our ERs in hospitals trained on what to look for.
You say our hospitals and ERs. Is this a problem in Western Illinois?
Absolutely.
In the tri-state region?
Absolutely. We went to India first to work on this because it's out in the open there. And we worked with – we vetted 12 organizations that were doing rescue and rehab. We found two that we felt comfortable with as far as providing funding for them. The more we learned once we came back here, the more we saw that it's here too, and it's here in greater numbers than you would think. The CIA also estimates that 50,000 women and girls are smuggled into our country for the purpose of sex slavery every year. That doesn't include the over a quarter million American girls who are coerced, seduced, lured into sex slavery, thinking that they're going to find a better life, looking for love. They're from homes that They don't have that love. They don't have that support. And they want someone to love them desperately. And that's what these traffickers do. They identify these girls. They build that trust. They lure them in. And they can't get out. And next thing you know, they're sex slaves. Even here in West Central Illinois, even in Galesburg, Illinois, Macomb, Illinois, Peoria, Illinois, it's everywhere.
Well, what should people be looking for?
Lots of different things to look for. Look for places where truck stops. The truck stop on I-80 is a very famous spot. Every night there are vans that bring girls and sometimes young boys to those truck stops. The kids get out of the vans. They go knocking door to door on the trucks looking to sell their bodies. There's something called the 25-25 rule. The pimp is going to expect the kid to come back to him having performed 25 sexual acts at $25 a piece. If this child does not meet his quota, they are beaten severely. That's a lesson they will not fail to learn. It's just a brutal world, and the kids aren't getting any money for this. It's all taken from them. There are organizations like Truckers Against Trafficking who are very vigilant. They're great watchdogs on the road, and I don't mean to in any way, you know, paint the people who deliver our nation's goods in a negative light, but people are people, and we have people out there on the roads like Truckers Against Trafficking that are out there doing the work too to look for those signs, look for those clues, and then clue in law enforcement.
It seems like it's almost happening in broad daylight. How is this going undetected?
It absolutely is going on in broad daylight. Once again, people don't realize what they're seeing. A girl comes into the ER. She has some injuries. She has another girl with her. And they make up a story about how these injuries occurred. And the girl who's injured will not allow herself to be interviewed by herself. This other girl is always going to be with her. That's a sign that there's something trying to be covered, and that second person is making sure that the injured girl does not say the wrong thing. Those girls are so scared, so brainwashed, because they know what's going to happen to them if they say the wrong thing, that they will say anything to avoid that punishment. It's almost like a Stockholm syndrome where the person who's inflicting the punishment upon these girls is also the only person that could give them the love and the self-worth they crave so desperately. So they're going to do whatever this person wants them to do in hopes of gaining that little bit of love or that show of love.
Saturday, May 10th, will be recognized as Human Trafficking and Modern Slavery Awareness Day in Galesburg. Is this the first time the city has done this?
This is our first time doing this. And Mayor Pritchard is very generous to come down and read the proclamation. And we're going to have a fundraiser going on where we have some great local musicians. The proclamation, we'll have a great silent auction, some nice artistic pieces from local artists around town. We were going to have some imported oil paintings from survivors of sexual slavery. Unfortunately, those did not arrive in time. But we will have lots of other pieces of art available and good food, Mediterranean food during the afternoon, 11 to 4. And then a more formal event from 6 to 10 at the same venue, 156 East of Galesburg. Traditional Indian dance will be provided along with Indian food brought in from Mantra of Davenport. And it's going to be a great time. And if you like Indian food, if you like Indian culture, if you like Mediterranean food, if you want to learn more information about what trafficking is, how to identify it, how to stop it, come see us. What we want to do is our goal right now is shifting. We've done a lot of raising funds for organizations in India so that they can do the work they're doing. We realize that the problem here is not being addressed. Over 100 girls were liberated last July in a raid. It's called Operation Cross Country. It was a multi-task force. FBI was involved along with well over 75 different local law enforcement entities. They rescued 100 girls. They didn't have enough safe houses for these girls to be placed. So these girls are going from having sex 30, 40 times a day with strangers and rescued from that to going and sitting in the county jail because that's the only safe place they have for them. And that was a wake-up call for us as an organization. And we're now looking to open a safe house here in the Western Illinois area.
Have you chosen a location?
We've chosen a basic location due to the nature of the crime and the people that we are trying to hide these kids from. I don't want to say exactly where it will be. You know, when you steal the mafia's property, the mafia does not like that. And so to protect the kids, to protect ourselves and our families, we will keep that probably fairly deeply under wraps.
How many people will you be able to accommodate at the safe house?
For our initial safe house, we're looking at probably 6 to 10. We want it to be small, and we want want it to be person-centered. A larger safe house sometimes has an institutional feel to it, and you know, we want to avoid that and give these kids the direct care that they need and assistance.
So that's the purpose of the fundraisers on Saturday, is money for securing that safe house.
Absolutely.
All right. What else do you think people should know about this issue?
I think that people should know that it can and is happening in places where you don't expect it. It can happen in an Asian nail salon, an Asian massage parlor, an Asian restaurant. It could happen in somebody's home where they have a domestic servant who's being kept there against their will. It can happen in the cities where kids are washing your car windows. And really what they're doing is they're getting paid to do that. They give the money to their handler. These kids aren't seeing the money. That's the thing, is that these people are all being coerced into making money for other people under threat of violence or threat of violence to their families without seeing any of the profit of their own. Illinois is actually a very progressive state when it comes to this. It used to be a girl would get arrested for prostitution. And she would have that on her record. Well, now the state of Illinois goes to great lengths to discern whether or not the girl is a prostitute by choice or if she has been trafficked into a situation, victimized into a situation where she is now selling sex for money. If they can demonstrate that this girl was coerced into that, that charge of prostitution is dropped. And that's going to go a long way for helping that girl in her future. She's not going to be labeled as a prostitute on a job application, on a school application. And that's only fair, I think. So Illinois has made some strides. There are other strides being made internationally and federally. But people need to know that slavery is real, and we all need to be abolitionists.
We had mentioned earlier slavery is illegal in every country in the world, yet there are more slaves in the world today than at any time in human history. Where does that statistic come from?
That statistic comes from Polaris Project, which is a national anti-trafficking organization. There are other numbers that are similar from other agencies and organizations. The United Nations, I think their estimate is something like 20 million, whereas Polaris is saying 27 million. Mm-hmm. It's a black market underground type of business, so it's really hard to track exactly what those numbers are. They are estimates.
What did you think when you saw those estimates, when you saw how widespread slavery still is in the world today?
I was shocked. How could that be? We live in a world where democracy and human rights are respected in large parts of the world, and we care about our children. How can this be? So that was my reaction. And I want to tell you one more thing. Is when I was in Mumbai 2 years ago, we visited the safe house of a place called Rescue Foundation, and we met I think there were 70 girls there that had been rescued from slavery, sex slavery. And we're meeting minor girls that had been through what I described earlier as sex with strangers 30, 40 times a day, beaten if they don't comply, given food a couple times a week, a bath or a shower once a week or two. What are we going to find? What's left of a young girl that's experienced that? And we were all very apprehensive about what we were going to see. And what we saw was a group of really resilient young girls who were glad to see us. They were smiling. They had a light in their eyes. They were so proud to show us of the fact that, hey, I can run a sewing machine. They didn't speak English, but they ran over and were showing me how solid that their seams were, and wanted to show me to the art room, to what they were doing there. And it was a wonderful experience, because you see the resiliency and you see the future that these girls want, that they're working towards, and you realize it's not hopeless. as horrible as it is, as devastating as this is, there is hope for some of these girls. And the word Asha is the Hindi word for hope, and that's part of where we came up with our name for our organization.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.